You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In 1972, John McCaffrey was part of a group who presented a petition calling for Māori language and culture to be taught in schools. Nearly half a century later, I spoke to him about the petition and the state of te reo in Aotearoa then and now.
Really low. The number of young people who are speakers had dropped down to probably under 10%, and there was no real concern, at least from the younger generations, that anything should be done about it. The older people over 40 or 60 were still speaking Māori, but there was just this huge gap among young people and young people growing up in the towns in particular, not having any access to te reo at all. And also, of course, a huge amount of opposition. And they had to mention that you wanted to speak te reo or used it, and the racists would come out. Yeah.
Why did you decide to start the petition?
I mean, I'm a New Zealand Pākehā of Irish ancestry, and I think that's really important to my story, because my ancestors, of course, were dispossessed of land and language and culture in Ireland, and my grandparents and parents always had this view that we hadn't come to New Zealand to recreate the same, racist, discriminatory sort of things that were happening in Ireland. So I was driven very much by my whānau, my family, and what sort of society they thought we should be creating. So my parents sent me off to work in volunteer service abroad in the Pacific in Tonga, and then encouraged me to enrol in te reo at Vic. And I was the first young Pākehā really in those classes. Everyone else at those times was a minister or a social worker. So I started in that first year, and together with a small group of people, the Jews and Rangitāwiras and others, we just decided that, te reo was going to face extinction. And I think it was Richard Benton's Council for Educational Research showing the first time data had actually showed that so few people were speaking it, and we had access to that through our lectures with Richard and Koro Jews and Api Mahuika and others. And so we saw some years before the research reports were published that there was an imminent disaster facing us all. And from my point of view, I could see that Pākehā would never get access to te reo if it died out. And so if Māori didn't have it, we couldn't have it. If we couldn't have it, the nation couldn't have it. So we were stuffed, basically. And I think that's, kind of where we began.
And you got, I believe, 30,000 signatures. Was it from a real diverse range of people? Was it quite difficult to get this many signatures?
It was difficult because of the small numbers of people involved. Ngā Tamatoa worked in Auckland, and we had a deal and arrangement with them. Hana came to Wellington to talk to Koro and Te Reo Māori Society, and we jointly negotiated over the petition. They did the Auckland stuff, and we did the Wellington, and we jointly did the Christchurch stuff. But no, we just didn't have the numbers to put on the road to get more than that, but there was a really mixed response. People set their dogs on us in some places. People in the Wellington Railway Station, people punched us, tried to rip up the petitions. But in a lot of places, people were really keen to sign it and did. And we really only had some 6 months in order to make it work. So over 30,000 in 6 months, was pretty good for us.
And, you've mentioned the opposition while you were, trying to get signatures. What was the reaction from the general public once you'd presented the petition?
Well, pretty low-key. I think the thing that made it was the election of the Labor government in 1972, because we'd built really close relationships with Labor MPs over that year of 1970 through to 72. And so, we kind of knew what they were willing to go for, and they knew what we were wanting, and we had kept building networks with Māori grads, with tribal organisations, Te Pene O'Regan, Ngāti Toa, Ngāti Raukaua, people in the south, and so that's kind of the way we work. We built these networks, and then we went to schools to perform kapa haka, like we do today. We go a couple of lunch times a week, every week for the whole university year, into as many schools as we could, and use Te Reo and perform Action Song and Kapa Haka, and say to kids, come on, this is something that you'd like to be part of, isn't it? And of course the kids said yes, yeah, in large numbers. And so slowly, as the kids in the schools got interested, but without any official program support, the schools and the parents started to put some pressure on. But it was the petition hearings following the presentation. The petition was presented on the 14th of October, 14th of September in 72, but the hearings that followed were well supported by Council for Educational Research, by Bruce Biggs, by a whole group of Māori academics and individuals, and also by the Department of Education at the time. You know, I think swung the petition to a favourable recommendation. And once the petition was accepted and recommended to Parliament, suddenly things took off, and those years between 72 and 75 were just frantic for development. It was like it had been there, and it was lots of people were wanting it, and this the petition provided the spark that opened the door that let things happen. But it was by no means universal, but there were enough people in power and in Parliament to want to support it and make it happen.
And the petition aimed to have Māori language and culture offered in all schools. Do you think this has been achieved?
No, that's a really tragic thing. The recent hui, Te Ata Kura o Te Reo, which we held in Wellington with the organisation of Victoria students that's still running, Te Reo Māori Society. I mean, my main presentation there was that the Crown has absolutely failed to accept the gift that was offered to them 45 years ago, and that was that Te Reo for all New Zealanders. So we still have political parties and governments who can't make up their mind and be confident enough about the nation that we are and a vision ahead to say, yeah, we'll build Te Reo into the things that the schools do, and we'll offer it to everyone. So, yeah, it's an uncompleted task, and that's why we work so hard with Labor and the Greens this year, leading up to the election, to try and encourage them to firm up those policies. And I'm pretty confident that we will see that now.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.